Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We have just had a powerful week with Dr. Matthew Sleeth and his new book called Hope Always. I want to encourage you, if you missed our first two programs, to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and you can catch those two 14-minute programs. He's been sharing part of his testimonial from being an emergency room doctor that did not know Jesus to accepting him in his 40s, and just powerful how God has transformed his life. He's written several books, 24-6, one of my favorites. And today, though, we're talking about his new book, Hope Always, How to Be a Force for Life in a Culture of Suicide. And Dr. Sleeth, you and I were talking about this before we started recording today. You know, we don't talk a lot about Satan and suicide, but Jesus warned about him in John 10:10 about coming to steal and kill and destroy. Thankfully, Jesus said in the next breath, I have come that you may have life and have it to full. But there is an element of darkness and the evil one in suicide, isn't there?
I don't think there's any other way to put it than it's satanic, what's going on with people killing themselves. And it's so what I did and in the book is to kind of survey the Bible on what happens when Satan shows up, and conversely, what happens when somebody is depressed at the end of their rope and they cry out to the Lord. So let's take Satan first. Satan doesn't show up in person that many times in Scripture. And the first time he shows up, he tells Adam and Eve, go ahead and eat the poison. And that's really his calling card throughout Scripture. If you look at the book of Job, Satan is trying to get Job to commit suicide. When Job's wife says, just curse God and die, you don't curse God and then all of a sudden your heart stops. That's the poetry of the book of Job of commit suicide. And so what I do is look at the, Job for not why do bad things happen to good people, which a lot of people go to Job and try to figure that out, but what is it about Job and his faith that allows him to withstand this onslaught of loss and pain and suffering? What is it? And it's God. There's nothing else. And when you have that love of God and you cling to that, you know, good things can happen. You know, if you think about even when Satan shows up and we have the interaction between Satan and Christ in Scripture, Satan is trying to get Jesus to jump off the bridge, as it were, jump off the tower. He wants nothing more than for you to end your life. Conversely, when you look in Scripture at those people who are at the end of the rope, and there's a bunch of people in the Bible who say, I can't take this anymore, I'd just rather be dead. When Moses does that, the Lord shows up. When Elijah does that, the Lord shows up. When Jonah does that, the Lord shows up. When David does that, the Lord shows up. And so it's Satan's plan that we kill ourselves. It's God's plan that we live and we have an abundant life.
You shared in your book, and you know, I think we just need to be reminded of it. I think sometimes we may be a follower of Jesus too complicated, but you said there was a big difference in who Adam listened to and who Jesus listened to, right?
Jesus listened to, you know, in order to withstand those assaults, he goes to Scripture, and he not only goes to Scripture, he has a sophisticated view of Scripture, because remember, he's being taunted with Scripture. There is nothing that pays back as much as spending time in Scripture. There's no substitute for it. There's no shortcut for it. We are people of the Word, and the Word was made flesh, not the movie, not the abstract, you know, not that I'm against, you know, other things, but just plain spending time in Scripture, it will pay off in life like nothing else.
Well, I was shared this before on Hope Is Here, but it's been a while. But one of the things that's been the biggest change for me, shared since 2001, instead of turning ESPN on in the morning first thing when I'm getting my cup of coffee, I've started making that I'm non-negotiable and spending time reading God's Word. And, man, it is a huge basis for a foundation for your good day to bind back those lies from the enemy, isn't it?
It is. And what you find, or what I've found, my experience has been, and I've been a Christian about 20 years now, a little less, is that you begin to think biblically. You begin to have Scripture just pop up unbidden, you know, when you need it, when it's right, and that sort of thing. That's the Holy Spirit giving you a nudge in the right direction. And so, and if somebody's depressed, you can read the encouraging Scriptures, but you can also read the Scriptures of people who've struggled through depression themselves in the Bible and come through the other end. And so the Bible is, for me, the anchor and the instruction book in life.
Well, I want to encourage you today. Sometimes we get busy and put that aside, make that priority of spending time in God's Word. You know, one of the things, if you look at the Bible too and talking about suicide, I mean, big difference how Peter handled his failure and how Judas handled his failure, isn't there?
Absolutely. And they both failed totally. And the Lord will forgive our failings. The Lord never tires of forgiving us. It's us who give up. And so if somebody's struggling with something, a sin they can't shake, a habit, an addiction, Don't give up. the Lord is there, and as far as addictions and things go and suicide, it's a relationship there. About 70% of the people who commit suicide have drugs or alcohol on board at that time. And so in this book, I even do a survey of alcohol in the Bible. And the results. And if you're struggling with addiction, you need to get into a program that tackles this, both the physical but also the mental and spiritual aspects of addiction.
Oh, great wisdom there, and I love that you do touch about addiction in your book. If you just tuned in, we're talking to Dr. Matthew Slee about his new book called Hope Always. One of the things, too, I liked, you talked about Elijah. Once again, God used him really big in the Bible, but he got really discouraged and thought about calling it quits. But you shared four steps on how he responded that I think could really help some people listening today.
The first is that even God's best, and Elijah's the best, by the way, he's the original fire and brimstone prophet, even God's best can despair. So if you're going through some despair and you're a believer, you are in good company. The second is that I talk about is doing a systems check in the book. And when my kids were little, when they were getting bent out of shape or something, we did this HALT exercise, H-A-L-T, and we said, are you bent out of shape? Are you discouraged? Are you angry or something because you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And I learned as an emergency room physician, you can get really tired. you've been up for 24, 30 hours or something like that. You're not thinking the same. And to always put off any important decisions until you've had a rest and a meal and a shower to shave, that sort of thing. And so do that systems check. Are you not really capable of making big decisions? So you think about somebody making a decision to end their life and they haven't had sleep or something like that. That's where that comes in. And then another is that God speaks to us in quiet. Psalm 20, be still and know that I am God.
Psalm 46:10.
46:10.
Yes,
thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
24 is the earth is the Lord's. Sorry. 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And I think some of us have a life that's so busy and is moving so fast that we just can't hear from the Lord. And that's, by the way, in this book, I talk about the importance of Sabbath. God's rest is more powerful than our work. And I just believe it's a key to mental health to have one day where you are not part of the rat race, where you get off the treadmill, where it's God and fellowship and naps and maybe a walk in the woods or something like that. And so God speaks to us in those quiet times. By the way, one thing that I would highly recommend for people to do is to every day write down one thing that you're grateful for. Mm. Now, I don't do this anymore because you're going to internalize this once you've done it. But you every day write down, that's not much of a big deal, is it? You could put it in your phone in the notes section. You could, you know, jot it on a little card or something. And then on your Sabbath day, the Lord's day, look back at those six things. And I will tell you that if you do this just for a few months, you will no longer have a gratitude journal. You will have a miracle journal because you will begin to see miracles. And so God speaks to us in quiet. And we need some time to process and everything. And really, I stopped doing this, and what I see now is not what I'm grateful for, but the miracles going on around me. I'm grateful for the miracles, okay? Try it. If your readers try that, I know that it will be blessed by that. One thing you're grateful for every day, 90 days later, you're going to have a miracle journal on your hands. And then lastly, you don't have to do this alone. Get part of a group of believers. Doesn't have to be a large group. Can be just a few people, but people that you're real and you're honest with and you trust and they trust you, and that you share life and you share the struggles and everything. We are in a point in society where we're trying to always project that everything is peachy keen. There are literally people taking selfies smiling before they jump off a bridge. Okay? That's fake. That's nonsense. Have some people that you can get real with. You don't want to have whining pity parties all the time, but you want to get together and you want to say your struggles, but you also want to share where God's working in your life. Unless we're sharing those, we don't have an accurate view of life. We were very fortunate that one of the first churches that our family went to had a spectacular pastor. And he didn't do this every week, but every few weeks, someone would stand up and say how God was working in their lives or something, a sin that they were struggling with. And you want to talk about making a church real. It's where God is working in your life and where he needs to be working. You know, I'm not trying to critique churches too much here, but, you know, just an academic rehashing of Scripture is not God alive in your life now. And you need to, you know, who was it said expect a miracle or look for a miracle? You need to look for God. Anytime God shows up, it's a miracle. You may not perceive it as a miracle. And then this is, we ought to come back.
We're going
to
come back. Hold that thought. Okay? Don't lose that thought. I want to hear. I know it's going to be good. I'm on the edge of my seat, but unfortunately we are out of time. But the good news is Dr. Sleeth is willing to stay and do an extra program with us. So, invite somebody to join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Dr. Matthew Sleeth on his wonderful new book called Hope. Always.
Do you have goals and ideas, but life always seems to get in the way? Do you need to hit a reset for this year? Hi, I'm Twyla Brown, and on May 22nd, I'll be in Lexington hosting a workshop called Cue the Confetti, Preparing to Celebrate Your Best Life. I'll help you define what matters most in your world so that you can create a life that points you towards your goals while protecting your priorities. In this workshop, you'll learn how to create a vision board and strategically plan your week, month, and year like a business. To find out more information, visit online at twylabrown.com. That's twylabrown.com. I can't wait to meet you.